Blog Talk Radio.
Tornado.
Tony.
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing? I'm still in Vegas.
Pretty good.
We got some.
Yeah.
We got some opening. You're in. Music. We got to play. Good.
Okay. Well, here you play that. I'm actually giving some boxing instructions right now. I'm on a location tonight.
Sweet. All right, we got a lot to talk about. Hold on.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, but don't worry about it.
Next thing, like, I'm going to my alma mater this weekend. I was up there last year at the guest coach. Guys, I didn't know. I hadn't been back to school in like 10 years. So I came back and the coach welcomed me in. And a couple of guys were like, man, sit down. They were hitting the bag and they would stop. I saw this one guy.
Oh,
I'm going to get knocked out. I said, why? And I was like, why? I said, watch it go. He hits the bag and looks around. Mommy, look in the mirror. I said, I love them. I said, coach, you want to talk to any fighters? I said, you know. I said, I was in the gym usually. Well, my
age. I'm
a little bit more mellow. I said, no, I'm a hothead. Tornado. I'm live here tonight from 309 Fitness in Montgomeryville, PA. I'm with a bunch of young fighters out there. They're getting some, you know, some training in tonight. Borrowing some of my expertise. It's a scary thing.
This is the Tony Pinnacle Boxing Rain Man episode, I think. We got a Dennis Mama's Boy Duglin on tonight.
You got what?
We got Dennis Duglin on tonight, one of Yano's boys.
Oh, really? Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. In the 8:30 time slot. That's about it. I had an interview at Extreme Couture with Ryan Couture a couple days ago. It went pretty well, except for the music was a little too loud in the background. Probably should have picked a quieter spot, but it came out good. And I'm going to write something about it at least overnight tonight. Get it in for tomorrow. He's fighting tomorrow at the Challenger Series. And he looks really a lot like his dad. I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Some of the expressions that he made when I was asking him certain questions, it was like, you know, he's a little Randy Couture, pretty much. Looks just like him. And it's funny, you know, because he's getting in the mood to fight, so he's getting that body shape of a fighter, and he has the looks in the face of his father, so it's just like, wow. You know? But he's very humble, so that's good. He's not like, oh yeah, I'm chip off the old block, so there's nothing I can do but win, no matter what. You know, he still trains. He looks like he's in good shape. But what's going on with the boxing world? I hear Manny Pacquiao and Sugar Shane Mosley are doing their world tour all over the freaking country.
Yeah, they're doing the world tour from places that I'm buying that maybe. I mean, hey, I love for the sport to be great, and I hope it gets a lot of exposure on CBS. But the problem is, it's like nobody wants to see.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, we love Shane Mosley. Who doesn't love Shane Mosley? You guys, you know, been around. He's world champ. You know, had a great fight 2 years ago against Margarito, but what has he done since? What have you done for me lately? That's the thing with sport. Now, Shane, can you shock him? Oh, absolutely. He's a top-notch guy. You know, he's fought some of the best in the world. He's fought the David Hoyes. He's fought the Margaritas. He's been in there with Cotto. I mean, he's beat a hell of a lot of good guys. But the problem is, look at his last two fights. Wasn't there, man. I mean, the fight against Mayweather after that great second round, he looked terrible. Damn near got knocked out. Then the fight against Sergey Moro wasn't impressive either.
Well, I haven't been watching much boxing out here. There are a lot of MMA gyms while I'm out here. Still in Vegas, by the way. You know that? I'm still really in Vegas. But I'm out here, and I missed the damn press conference. I could have gone to the press conference, but I had to wait around for some important evidence. I could have gone to the press conference, and I missed it. And the fans were asking questions, so you know I would have been able to answer questions.
I know you would have been asking questions. You probably would have got thrown out of the press conference.
Yeah, maybe. Boxing is a little different story than MMA was me.
Yeah, this is the first live show I've ever done from the actual inside of a boxing gym.
Wow. Well, that's ironic because I've been promising you a boxing show and it's not giving it to you.
Well, I want to get some good karma done. That's what I'm saying. I'm actually leaning on the ropes right now.
Yeah? Well,
I'm not even so old I'd actually get in there.
Where's the boxer in the gym who can tell us how tough he is? Who's the man there? In your surroundings.
We got some good young guys in here tonight. You know, they were banging around. I was watching some sparring, and you know, it's always good to, you know, we have a lot of really good, you know, young prospects in here, and you know, so a couple of guys can take up a good shots. So I was like, oh man, I remember taking my good shots.
Yeah. My strategy is I'm going to go to the MMA gym and I'm going to learn MMA boxing, dirty boxing. I'm going to take it to
dirty
the
boxing
world. Yep. But then, you know, instead of doing it extreme like they do, I'll just do it boxing-wise, but I'm going to use their little tricks. And watch out. Watch out, April.
Yeah,
I'm going to have a six-week training camp in Las Vegas. I'm going to be running up the fucking mountains.
You only got 2 months away, man. You better be getting yourself in shape.
There's fucking mountains all around me out here, you know? I'm like...
Where is the Battle of Badges this year?
What?
Battle of Badges this year.
Battle of the Badges at the Park Plaza Hotel in Boston is this place called The Castle.
It's in Boston?
Boston.
Hold on one second. Anybody want to fight up in Boston on April 30th?
Boston.
I don't know, man. I'm trying to line some guys up for you.
Fucking A.
I don't think you want me to get out of retirement now.
Next
well, I got a guy said he'll fight on the card.
Yeah.
I got a...
How much does he weigh?
Right now, I jumped on the scale. I was just like 220.
Pop, they want you to fight on the Battle of the Badges card in April.
Well, I'll be back in shape. You give me a couple months, I'll be back in shape. I'll fight him anything from 170 to 190, and I'll be ready for him, too.
Who's it?
We got a challenge here, man. Pop is ready.
170 to what?
Anything you got from 170 to 190. We'll bring him in bigger if you want.
Yeah. How about we just do a round-robin tournament? I already got a guy at 185. We'll just all three of us go in the same time in the ring. No. I don't know. We got firemen up there in New York. They get the priority, and then whatever other fights we can throw together, we put together. So they need a 170 to 190. Is that what he said?
Pop said he can get down to 170 to 190. He said, you just bring it on.
April 30th, yeah. I'll keep you in mind. I'll be in the loop. I can make it happen. We'll see. We'll see if we can do it. Philadelphia is not that far from New York. Can you get to New York and then you go up with them? Can you stand those New Yorkers?
Yeah, I stand those New Yorkers. I can tolerate the New Yorkers. I'll take them out, too.
You going to go up with them, Tony? You going to corner them?
What?
You going to go up with them and corner them?
Yeah, I'd corner him. He's going to be in Jamaica, man.
Yeah.
He's going to be in Jamaica, man.
All right. Well, anyway, I did kind of look around Vegas this week into a couple gyms. Extreme Couture is a pretty nice facility. Pretty nice.
What?
Almost reminds me of the Ultimate Fighter set, you know, where they have the cage there. I got it set up nice. It's a very big building, too. High ceilings. Lots of shit. Different rooms. Good stuff. Dennis, Mama's boy, Douglin, on the show.
I got your card. I got
he's actually got a fight coming up tomorrow. Dennis Douglin.
Like, I
got the fresher interview.
Sorry, I'm back.
I was
self-promoting.
You were not. We got Dennis, Mama's boy Douglin is the word. That's the.
Got a little bit of a boring program.
Dennis, Mama's boy Douglin. So yeah, we're going to have to ask him about that.
I'll
find my wallet. Tomorrow, Tony. So you're going to have to give him some good advice. Can you help him win? Hey. Tony.
With you.
Hey, what's that?
I'm with you. I can barely hear you. I'm promoting the gym. You know, I'm getting the 3-9 fitness. We're kicking ass. We're kicking ass in here tonight. 3-9 boxing. I'm sorry. I'm giving out some Fight News Unlimited cards.
I need your green man.
You better get a call.
Dennis Douglin. You ever heard of him?
I have not.
He's 12-0. You better hear of him.
I'm definitely hear him. Now, where does he fight out of?
He fights out of Marlboro, New Jersey.
Really? Now, what part of Jersey is that?
It's the part where they smoke Marlboros. I don't know. He's a southpaw.
Yeah. Marlboro, New Jersey. Is that southern or south of all?
Marlboro?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He doesn't know either. Because in South Jersey, you have to be fighting in Atlantic City. I don't get out of that.
He's a middleweight.
So speaking of boxing... Speaking of boxing,
yeah.
It's been ordered the rematch between Bernard Hopkins and Jean Pascal, and Golden Boy won the purse bid. So I'm sitting there doing cartwheels, thinking we have a chance of seeing this fight actually air in, or this fight actually get held in Atlantic City, New Jersey, which I would be down in attendance. But with my luck, even though Golden Boy has won the promotion, they figure they'll make more money having a fight in Canada with neutral judging and officiating. So I don't think I'll be going to Montreal.
Well, I am going to be a Southern California star over the weekend because I'm going to be on Fox News after American Idol. That's what they're telling me.
Did you say you were going on American Idol?
No. I'm going on after American Idol. On the news, Tony. Fox News. Coming at you live. No, I don't know.
What are you doing on Fox News?
I'm going on Fox News to talk about one of my legal cases.
Nice.
All right, guys, take care.
We're actually leaving the gym now. We're pulling out of the parking lot. I am not driving because it's too dangerous.
You watch your solar plexus.
Hey.
Well, Pop is giving instructions.
Hey, listen, Jerky.
Yeah.
Frank Rizzo.
I know who he is.
Yeah. So what do we get for boxing this week? Should we check Box Track on that?
Well, please do. I don't have access to my computer, obviously. I'm on the road.
Crackberry and out there at the gym.
Well, the one fight I know we got this weekend, we have the Showtime card now. Did you hear what they're doing? Not Showtime, I'm sorry. ESPN2. They're having boxing in 3D.
Oh, really?
And one of our former guests is going to be on the card, Sean Porter.
Sean Porter.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They're going to have boxing in 3D. So I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. I wonder how they're going to do that. You need a 3D-capable TV, a special 3D box, and 3D glasses.
Well, that's too much gimmick. too much for one.
So basically, this boxing in 3D might get viewed by about 4 people worldwide.
Right.
Because who the hell has a special TV that's compatible with 3D, a special box, and the glasses?
Yeah.
Now, of course, Saturday night, there's the big fight in Pennsylvania that I'll be attending.
Uh-huh.
That is the, I don't even know what year it is. I think my senior year was around the 18th, maybe. So at 13, this might be like the 21st annual Lock Haven Boxing Show.
Mm-hmm.
The 31st annual Lock Haven Boxing Show. 31st. So yeah, like something along that. I mean, they've had so many. So I'll be attending that up at the Haven. Not always good. I'll be attending that up at the Haven. You know, seeing Dr. Cox, seeing Coop, seeing all the guys up there. We'll all be swapping exaggerated stories of how great we were back in our day, as opposed to everybody that's fighting today.
Yeah.
And then we'll go to the Sons of Italy afterwards and eat tomato pie and drink beer.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Sons of Italy apparently has been in Lock Haven for I don't know how many years, but yet I did not know about it when I was there.
I have two of the mismatches of the month this week. So I just found them out of nowhere here. We got a light heavyweight fight in Argentina. Jose Alberto Clavero, 29-7 with one draw, 14 knockouts. Fighting the lucky Omar Ibanez, who is 1-1. And then
they match up well.
Yes, they're perfect for each other, right? We have a 40-1 fighter on the same card fighting where did the card go? I lost it. Okay, on to the next page. Well, that was mismatch enough, that was the main event.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, because if you have Box Rec in front of you, look at Saturday night, because there's supposed to be a card, I think, on HBO. I won't be home to see it, so I'll be at Las Vegas.
Dennis Duglin's fight is right here on that ESPN2 card. He's fighting Bill Carrasquillo, 14-17, 12 knockouts.
Okay, the guy he's fighting, click on his name. Tell me where he's from.
Noel, not to be confused with Noel. Noel with a D. Squeal. 5'6". Welterweight. What about him? What do you want to know? Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That's where he tried.
Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I've seen him fight. I've actually covered several of his fights. He's had fights on there. Look at his record. Down at either the Blue Horizon or down at the New Alhambra in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I've seen him fight on a number of occasions, and I'm trying to remember one of the fights that he lost was actually against a named fighter. I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head, but look at his record.
Blue Horizon? Steve Chambers. Steve Upchurch.
Yes.
Big name.
Yeah, I know. That's the younger brother of Eddie Chambers. I know Steve. I've been to a couple of his fights. I don't know if that was one of the ones I covered or not.
Willie Nelson? Oh, man, that's rough.
Yeah.
Willie Nelson.
You know, Willie's a tough guy.
Different Willie Nelson.
Yeah. Speaking of some other, in fact, I don't even think my dad knows this one, so he's going to perk his ears up when he hears it. But speaking of some other fighters that I know and we've interviewed live on the show, he's making his comeback starting next week, fighting in Tulsa, is Harry Yorgi.
Harry Yorgi.
Harry's fighting next Friday. It's going to be on the non-televised part of the ESPN2 card next week.
Sweet.
It's his first fight since his loss to Alfredo Angulo last year. I was actually talking to a coworker of mine today that knows Harry personally, has golfed with him in the past, they've hung out together, and he didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they've been keeping this under the radar or not, but, you know, I find everything out.
Yeah.
So I'm Rain Man.
Rain Man of boxing, yeah.
Right. Don't forget it.
Tell us the biggest boxing conspiracy you know of. 30 seconds.
The biggest boxing conspiracy I know of?
Yeah.
Currently?
Yeah, whenever.
Well,
go Rain
let's
Man.
Let's see, we've got some conspiracies here. You know, we got the margarita-loaded wraps. But there's no conspiracy as big as something named Mayweather on it.
Yeah, what's going on with that guy? I don't know. He's out to lunch these days.
Floyd?
Floyd, yeah.
They got I didn't get to read it yet because I just got it yesterday. Got my Ring magazine for this month. And I was just thumbing through it this morning when I woke up. But they have, like, some of the top stars in boxing, and it's like, you know, what they got going for them and what makes them great, and then what are their biggest threats. So you take a guy like Sergio Martinez. That's who's fighting this weekend, Sergio Martinez. He's defending his title. The guy he's fighting is also – oh, he's fighting the guy that knocked that the Jacobs kid, Danny Jacobs. He's fighting some Russian kids. Should be a really good fight. But they're saying, like, a guy like Sergio Martinez, what are the biggest threats of his career? And it's like, you know, he would say, like, okay, a rematch to Kelly Pavlik. They could say, you know, a fight with, say, Miguel Cotto or a fight with, like, somebody else. Then they say, like, Floyd Mayweather. What's the three biggest threats to him? Manny Pacquiao, obviously. And then it's like, really get bored. And number three, his dysfunctional family.
Right.
I swear, I can't go a show unless I rip on the Mayweather family.
No, it's necessary. I want to go there and take pictures and mess with the security. Say, I want the information on Floyd. I know you guys hate him. Why don't you just tell me?
If you're in Vegas and you see the Mayweather family, ask Roger to smile for you.
Yeah. Like the worst people you can get against you is your security. So I bet I could get some of his security to tell me, like, oh, yeah, he's a good
guy. I'm telling you, Roger Mayweather's got the worst smile since Leon Spinks.
It's going to be one of those situations where money, he needs money, so Floyd's going to come back and fight, but all this crap, I guess.
Every day he waits, the hourglass ticks further and further away from him.
Yeah. And Manny keeps fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting.
Yeah, and fighting impressively.
Right. And Sugar Shane Moses going around saying he's doing Floyd Mayweather's dirty work. That's what he says.
Yeah. Yeah, I read that. I read where he said that.
He's taking out the garbage for Floyd, he says. You're right. We'll see. I think Manny's going to cream him. Manny's just a little fireball. You know, he just goes in there and he just throws. He throws no matter what he takes.
The one thing I've noticed in years of watching Shane Mosley, I've always been a big-time Mosley fan, look at a lot of his fights, and when it's against a guy that he's like physically superior, athletically superior, even very good fighters, guys like Margarito, who's, you know, a tough but very, very limited guy, you know, long. Shane's relaxed. You know, he goes out there and he does his job. When he's up against a guy that is somehow physically or stylistically intimidating, whether that's a guy that's fast like Mayweather, whether that's a guy that was, like, tall and rangy like Vernon Forrest, whether that's a guy that was, you know, very physical like Winky Wright, Shane was never impressive. He would do, even when even in the second fight with De La Hoya, I thought he lost, and the reason I scored it again, that I thought the only reason I think the judges may favor him, I still personally didn't, was the fact that he looked more fluid and he looked like he was doing more, even though he wasn't. I always said that Shane's biggest weakness was sometimes he has a lot of sizzle, but he has no stake, you know, behind it. And he'll do it with a lot of, you know, the shoulder rolls and the hand rolls, and he'll be bouncing a lot, but that doesn't equate to any punching. Now, if you watch after, like, he ended that big punch against Mayweather, and he got all ahead of himself, and he got all fired up, and he couldn't relax. When he doesn't relax, he looks like he's real herky-jerky, and you know, it's just not stylistically pleasing, and it looks like he's doing a lot, but really all he's doing is expending energy, and he's not landing any punches. And against a guy like Pacquiao, who is very fast, he's just as fast as Mosley, and he's very aggressive, so he's going to bring a lot of pressure. He's not going to bring that slow pressure that Margarito did. He's going to bring very quick pressure. And I think what you're going to see Mosley doing a lot is really get a lot of that herky-jerky movement in there, and he's not going to relax. And by him not being able to relax, that's going to be his biggest downfall against a guy like Pacquiao. I'm not saying Pacquiao is going to knock him out, but I think the first few rounds, you know, will be close. Mosley definitely has a tendency to, you know, get some good punches off and, you know, could absolutely change the tide of the fight. But I think what we're looking at here is Pacquiao takes control around the fourth or so round, maybe the third, fourth round. And every round that goes, especially if he lands some body shots. I saw Vernon Forrest really, Vernon Forrest and Winky Wright, both in their respective first fights, really hurt Mosley with body shots. And Pacquiao has a very deceptive combination where he'll throw his left hand over the top, then he'll dip and double into the rib cage. And I think he can have a lot of success against Mosley doing that.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I think it's one of those fights I might put some money on Floyd while I'm out here in Vegas. Floyd. I'm going to put money on Floyd to be sitting on his ass for the next 3 months. No. I'm going to put some money on Manny. I like Manny no matter what. I don't see him fading anytime soon. And mostly had a shot against Mayweather, didn't take it, and he got put in his place in that fight, really, you know, and I think Manny's a better fighter right now than Floyd. So. Unless Mosley is like doing something wicked different that we haven't heard of, I don't know. Oh, he's got a shot against Manny. He's too busy, too active, too accurate, too quick. Mosley's never been that quick. You know, even in his best days, I don't think he has been as quick and as powerful as Manny. Anyway, let's get Dennis, the mama's boy, Douglin, on the phone. All right, well, I guess you're going to have to call his actual number. Well, I guess we gotta wait for his contact request because he's on Skype.
Okay.
So, I don't know if he's near his computer.
Oh, I forgot to ask you, because I was having a little bit of trouble hearing last week. what was the name of the fighter that we interviewed last week that had fought on the last UFC card?
The fighter, Mike Pierce.
Yeah, I want to text that over to a couple of friends.
Yeah, it was a good interview. 29 seconds. Oh man, and he didn't get a bonus. Trying to get the mama's boy here.
Hello?
Hello, Dennis.
How are you?
How's it going? This is Rabble Rouser Rich Bergeron from Fight News Unlimited.
Hey, how are you, man?
Good. We also got Tony the Tornado Pentagon on the line, too.
Yo, what's up?
How are you? What's going on,
right? Daniel?
Yes, sir.
You ready for a big fight tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir, of course.
All right. Why don't you tell us what you know about this guy you're fighting?
Well, I don't really know too much about him. I've seen him fight. I saw his last fight. I'm like a little tough guy, rugged guy, like trying to go some rounds. But I wasn't really impressed with his skills, anything like that. So we came up with a good fight plan, and I'm just going to stick to it and try to get him out of there.
All right. So happens our co-host has seen this guy in action, so I think he might be able to tell you a little bit about him.
Yes. Yeah, you're fighting a guy from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Cascarillo, his name is. I've actually covered a couple of his fights. Danny, he fought in Philadelphia a couple times. I know he fought a guy named Steve Upshur Chambers, whose brother Eddie fought for the heavyweight title of the world. Steve beat him. And I know he fought at least another, I know I fought and seen him fight at least twice. So I'm actually on my way home. I'm going to pull his record up on BoxRec and pull up some of my articles on him. I was going to give you a few scouting tips.
Oh, okay, sounds good, man.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, you know, the small world it is. I came out here to Vegas for a business trip, and I met this kid who I had written about his first fight in Massachusetts. He was at the front desk at a gym. And he goes, oh, yeah, I know these guys. You guys wrote about me way back in the day. There you go. Come very far, my son.
Now, this fight tomorrow night, is that part of the ESPN boxing card?
I'm sorry?
The fight that you're having, is that part of the card that's going to be on ESPN?
No, I won't be televised. I'm fighting before the television part comes on.
Okay, but it is part of the ESPN show.
Yes, it is part of the card. I'm on the card, but I just won't be televised.
Okay. Hey, well, you never know. Maybe one of the earlier fights will be a knockout, and they have some time to put you in there.
I'm hoping so, man. I really do. I'm ready to be on TV out there.
Yeah, that you just get somebody with a good camera, and you'd be a YouTube sensation.
So, are you looking forward to getting to meet some of the guys like Teddy Atlas and those guys that'll be doing the live commentary?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that question. I'm sorry.
I was saying, are you excited to be fighting in front of guys like Teddy Atlas, who's been, virtual legend in the sport?
Definitely. I mean, I want to get out there in front of as much people as possible. So being in front of Teddy, Brian Kenny, and all those people from ESPN is definitely a great opportunity. So I'm looking forward to shining.
All right. And what would you say is your ultimate goal in the sport?
Just to be the best in my weight class, 154. World titles don't really mean as much as they used to me. I mean, of course, I want to be a world champion, but more so than that, I just want to be the best.
Right. And you plan on sticking in your weight class right now that you're in?
Yes, 154. I feel real comfortable with this weight. So we're not in any rush to try to go down or go up. I'm just going to stay here.
All right. And who do you most want to fight in that class right now?
Whoever anybody else thinks is the best. I would love to fight Sal Alvarez, people like Omar Henry, James Kirkland, whoever's at the top. I'm definitely gunning for them. Miguel Cotto, whoever. I just want to be in competition with the best fighters in the weight class.
Now, aside from obviously your own career and getting to fight in front of guys like Teddy Atlas and progressing. Are there any other fighters that you like to watch as a fan, as any styles that you like to emulate, or somebody you want to say, man, I appreciate the work ethic, or I appreciate what they bring to the sport?
Well, I mean, I'm a big fan of the sport of boxing, so I like a lot of fighters. The list, I mean, from people that are going out of the sport, like Mayweather Pacquiao, to people that are coming up that I don't really know, like even the main event of this card, Fernando Guerrero and Sean Porter, fighters like them. Like, I think boxing still has a lot left in it, so I'm definitely a big fan of a lot of fighters.
All right.
Any fighters from the past that you personally like? You can watch like old tapes or old fighters, maybe from
definitely.
Like,
Pernell Whitaker is definitely one of my favorite fighters of all time, and you know, I just found that he's in camp with Sam Judah now, and I think that's a great look. I think he's one of the best southpaws ever. So to have somebody like that in camp, which was probably really helping Zab out.
Yeah,
it's funny you say that because we were watching ESPN Classic the other night, and they had a couple of Whitaker fights when he was champ at lightweight. We're sitting there watching, like, it's just amazing how he was almost like Spider-Man when it came to like seeing and ducking punches that were thrown very fast, but to him they were coming like in slow motion.
Yeah, exactly. He was, I mean, amazing. He was a great fighter. I definitely, growing up, when I first started boxing seriously, I tried to pattern myself after him and what he did. But a lot of his movements was just reflexes. It was just stuff that can't be copied. So he definitely was one of my favorite fighters of all time.
I always joke around whenever I like talk to other fighters, or especially to come on, if I'm ever training somebody now and like giving them tips and all that. And back, like, when I started doing that back in the day, it was like, you know, the guy that was the number one on top of the time was Roy Jones Jr. And I always tell guys, and now the guys that I train now, the guys, I would never let them try to intimidate, not because they were absolutely great fighters, it's because you can't intimidate them. You can't, like, imitate them. Back in the day, Ali, you can't imitate Ali because Ali was Ali. Then you had guys like Roy Jones Jr., Sugar Ray Leonard, or Pernell Whitaker. Those guys are hard to imitate because their gifts are so unique. You know, you get an average guy try to do that, and it's almost impossible.
I agree. I agree 100%.
So what would you say was the greatest moment in the sport so far for you?
I would say right now my greatest moment would probably be just turning pro, my pro debut, the atmosphere, winning my first fight, and really seeing what it's like without the headgear, everything. I think that was an amazing feeling. And just going to build it from there. Hopefully my next great experience will be winning my world title.
What does your dog have to say about it?
I'm sorry?
What does the dog have to say about it?
Yeah, sorry, I just actually was in the car. I just got home from that boxing gym. And my dog, Vinny, I don't know if you remember a fighter back in the 80s and the 90s, Vinny Pazienza.
Of course.
That's who I named my dog after, because he was crazy and he gets fired up. So I just came home. Well, I named him. In fact, we had Vinny on the show a couple years ago. He was an idol of mine growing up. And I said, the way I named my dog was, we were getting a puppy, hadn't had a dog in like 6 years. We were getting this puppy, and the breeder had sent us pictures. And I looked at him, and these little cute little puppies were running through the grass. And I said, boy, they look so mischievous, like a bunch of little devils. Devils, Tasmanian devil. And named the dog Vinny. The rest of the story, Vinny loved the story when I told him.
Well, he calmed right down when he just told it. Unless you got him in another room.
All right, I'm finally back in my office now.
Anyway, Dennis, tell us a little bit about, you know, what do you love most about boxing?
I love the fact that besides, I mean, we're going in the ring one-on-one, but it's still a team sport. Like, people just think that boxing is all about the fighters, but I think it's a great team sport. I mean, and you're only as good as your corner is. So I like the fact that I have good people in my corner. Like, my mother's my head coach, and we're just trying to bring a refreshing look to boxing, trying to bring boxing back with not just with a story, but with the skills and discipline and everything like that. So I think that's one of the best parts of boxing.
And What do you think is the key to getting more young kids involved in boxing these days, especially with this big distraction of MMA that's starting to jump on the scene and get a lot of younger kids interested?
I just think more gyms and more people that are qualified and know what they're doing inside gyms. I think one of the biggest things that are turning kids off to boxing is going to a gym and the people don't know what they're doing. If you're in the gym with a coach and he doesn't know what he's doing and you don't feel like you're getting any better, it kind of turns you off to the sport. I mean, in MMA, they have a lot of qualified coaches that are really practicing their skills and honing their skills. So kids are learning. They feel like they're getting better at what they're doing. Whereas boxing, you have a bunch of gyms where it's more based on the cardio aspect and not the technique, and people lose interest in stuff like that. So I just think getting more people to take the coaches to take it a little bit more seriously will definitely trickle down to the kids.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
The other thing I was, early always thought about this sport was, like I said, sport I've, grown up with, basically. I've been involved in it for, I can't tell you how many years.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Did you say that again?
I said, another thing I like about it, it's a sport that I've grown up with. I've been involved in it for over 15 years now as a competitor, as a trainer, now doing, media side of it, but it's a way, it teaches teamwork, you're right, absolutely, but it teaches respect for your opponent, very rarely, I mean, sometimes at the big level, you'll hear the trash talk and everything, but mostly it's for a show, that's getting the pay-per-view buys. Do guys, really hate each other? I thought, no, not too often. You see a lot of mutual respect in there, and that's the thing, like, when you were saying about, a lot of the gyms, I just came from a place tonight that's independently owned, but it's more like a boxing / fitness center. They were doing some sparring tonight, but these are more white collar guys. Some of them are trying to learn it. Maybe they're young and trying to progress, but some of them are doing it for fun. And the trainer there, he's pretty knowledgeable. Like, he seems to know what he's doing. He's had some fights. But he's saying, it's a business. He's like, I got to get people in here. I got to keep them entertained. I got to bring them back. Cause if I don't bring them back, I'm not getting paid. I was lucky that, being a Philadelphia guy, that I had rec centers to go to, that everything was pretty much funded by the city of Philadelphia as a way to keep the kids off the street.
Right.
Definitely. And I am right now on my computer, I am doing a search of your opponent for tomorrow night. I'm looking to see some of the guys he fought. He fought Aaron Torres, who was on the, I believe that was the first year of the contender. And Aaron broke his hand in that fight, and they stopped it. Then he went on to fight Mike Jones, who's actually fighting this weekend on HBO. Mike Jones out of Philadelphia, who won via second round stoppage. And then he fought some other guys, Patrick Lopez, who was a very good record at the time, Mighty Mike Arenados, who fought for a world title, and then, as we mentioned before, Steve Upshur Chambers.
Well, that's good. I mean, I know you have a lot of experience as a pro, and I'm sure it'd be a great experience for me, but I don't want people to think that the experience that he has is going to play a big part, because I have a lot of experience as well as an amateur, and the experience, it evens out. Like, I'm a very seasoned fighter, so yeah, I'm just looking forward to putting on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, he ain't scared. That's the truth. So, all right, but now I'm wondering how you get this nickname, the Mama's Boy. Tell us a little bit about that. That's got to be significant.
Well, I started boxing when I was 10 years old. My mother brought me to the gym. I was basically training with my uncle, and she was always in the gym with me, and just picking up stuff from her helping me out, and I felt like I was getting a little better, like, at home, just training with her. So when I was around 14, 15, she became my head coach, and my mom, she's still my head coach as a pro now, and I get the name from working with her. It started out as a joke. People used to call me the Mama's Boy in the gym because I was the only kid in the gym getting trained by their mother, but in reality, that's what it is. I'm a Mama's Boy because that's who I work with. That's my coach.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Look here, I see you got a win over a knockout win just a few months ago over Joshua Nyong'o.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I have actually covered a few of his fights, and I was sitting front row back 4 or 5 years ago when he scored a very very impressive knockout, not a knockout, but a impressive win over Gabriel Rosado, who was a tough Philadelphia fighter who even fought on ESPN against guys like Alfredo Lingulo. And Yongo, I mean, not a great record, but a hell of a tough guy, and knocking him out in 2 rounds. Tell me a little bit about that fight.
Oh, we went in with a game plan. Like you said, I know he's a tough veteran, and we just built on going in, setting the pace early, staying on top of him, going to the body, picking out shots, and it worked out. Caught him with a good shot to the right side of his head, and he went down and got right back on top of him and stayed on him. I think a lot of people don't expect me to have as much power as I have at 154, but I think that I'm a pretty good puncher, and I'm a volume puncher. I put punches together, so I don't think people are ready for that. Originally, when they start bringing me, they're used to people picking shots and picking up pace as the fight goes on. I try to come out in the first round and throw a bunch of punches and keep it going, keep steam up, and keep working until I'm able to get my opponent out of there.
All right. And do you have a favorite punch that you like to use, or anything like that? You favor a certain style?
No, I don't have a favorite punch in particular. I just go out and see what's open and build off that. I think I make great adjustments, and I think that's one of my biggest assets. And I just go in and let my hands go. I mean, I've gotten a lot of hooks off. I'm not a lot of knockouts off of my right hook, but that wouldn't consider a favorite punch. I just throw whatever I think is necessary to get the win.
And who among your opponents would you say was your toughest fight so far?
I would say Lamar Harris, only because I fought him. I was dropped with a flash knockdown in that fight because I thought I had him hurt, and I rushed in, and he caught me middle punch as I was coming in. And I just think it was a great learning experience, taking my time and throwing punches the right way and not just jumping in for the kill. When you see if you have somebody hurt, you got to work in behind the jab. And I think it was a very valuable lesson I learned from that. If I would say that one was probably my toughest one. And especially because it was a 4-round fight. And once you get dropped, you pretty much have to win every other round in order to win the fight. So it was a good, like I said, it was a great learning experience.
All right. And what's the most important thing you do to get ready for a fight in the gym?
I'm sorry?
What's the most important thing you do to get ready for a fight in the gym? Or outside?
Everything. I don't think there's, I think I'm one of those fighters that believe that you have to do everything in the gym as far as shadow boxing, jump rope, speed rack. I try not to skip anything. So when I'm getting ready for a fight, I make sure I give everything equal attention so that I'm well rounded.
Right. All right. Good answer. You got any questions there, Tony? Drowning you out over there.
Yeah, I was, listening. That's one thing I definitely agree with. I'm going up to an amateur show this weekend at my alma mater where I had boxed for a number of years. And last year, I had some time off before I started a new job, and I called the coach. I said, "Hey, coach, I said, do you mind if I come up one day? Because I heard the team was struggling. This is a small school, but the boxing team won the national championship in 2007. And when I went up there in 2009, the team looked like it was floundering. I said, you know, these guys are getting ready for fights, even if they're amateur fights, but you're fighting in front of all your friends on your college campus." And I said, friends, girlfriends, family members. And these guys were joking and laughing and playing like slap fights before they were getting in the ring. And I said, you guys need some focus. And last year, I got an email from the coaches like, yeah, teams are really struggling. They're young guys. There's some new guys on the team. And a lot of them really learned. We don't have a veteran leader up here. Most of our older guys graduated. I said, well, coach, would you mind if I came up, to be like a little bit of a helping hand and, a guest coach for one day? He goes, no, we'd love to have you. So I get up there, and I see like these young guys, they all came to practice late. I said, shit, I remember if I came to practice late and I wasn't coming from class, because the coach was like, he was a professor, so he'd be like, you got to go to class, that's most important. But if I was just, out goofing off and showed up late, shit, you you know, drop down and give me 50 push-ups, or you skip rope for 10 minutes or something, you know, you're going to be punished for being late.
Yeah.
These guys, they were goofing off, they were hitting the bag, and they were laughing, they were joking. And I remember I turned to the coach, and I was like, man, I said, I wish I could come up here more often. Because I said, your boys are not preparing like I remember we had to prepare. And he looked at me and he goes, I wish that you were 15 years younger right now and coming to be a freshman in college. Because he goes, we wish we had it. We wish we had a guy with your passion out there. And just by chance, that one day we had a new kid coming into the gym. And he was a young kid. He was 19 years old. But he had a passion about boxing, so they kind of stuck him with me for the day. And he damn near put qualified the nationals that year because he had passion. He was willing to jump rope. He was willing to go out there and run a couple miles in the morning. He was willing to hit that bag. He wasn't a guy that was hitting the bag and looking in the mirror at himself and, you know, trying to take off a few seconds and half-ass it. That's the one thing I recommend, you know. I was the guy, to be totally honest, that of all my fights, I think I might have won two fights on being a better skilled opponent, and I won the rest of them just because I wanted it a little bit more, and I was willing to fight through my own blood.
I agree 100%. I think focus is definitely one of the most important parts of the boxing, and I think that's why we're so successful because, I mean, my mother's my coach. I live with my trainer, so there's no going to the gym late or anything like that because she's home with me. So, I mean, it plays a big part of my whole training and focus and discipline, definitely.
And she knows you're right, and, you know, she knows that you're not going to be sitting there sneaking, like, the Snickers bars and all the bad stuff like that.
Exactly. She doesn't allow that at all.
So what is your nutrition program like?
What is
your nutrition program like?
Well, I have a nutritionist, so he keeps me on a strict diet. He maps out the diet, and I just pretty much follow whatever he tells me to do. And it works out well as far as me making weight and everything like that.
Right. All right. Well, you got anybody you want to give a shout-out to? Say hello to out there?
I'm just going to say hi to all my fans and anybody that's listening that might be becoming a fan based on my story. And just keep looking out for the mamas, but I'm definitely going to be one of the best fighters at 154. So I appreciate being on and just keep looking out for me.
Well, I kind of appreciate the nickname because when I was a kid, what got me into fighting was my mom died at a young age when I was 7. So whenever anybody said that joke, you know, when I grew up in the 80s, it was always like, you know, you insult somebody and they go, your mother. You know, and I would hear that and I would snap. So that's what got me into fighting. And I got into so many street fights, I had to channel it into boxing. So, I mean, that's the kind of story that inspires me when I hear about somebody's mother training them. You know, that's excellent. I'm glad that you have that experience.
Thank you.
Forward to seeing you. I think they're going to have you on ESPN. You're going to knock this boy
out. Sorry?
You're going to knock this guy out. So I think we're going to see you on ESPN.
Yeah, I'm trying. That's what I'm going for, man. Mm-hmm. But trying to just be smart and go and fight the right way, but go for the knockout.
Sounds good to me.
Hey, absolutely. You know, most important thing, man, is go out there, you know, keep your game plan, keep focused out there, relax, have some fun, and you know, just do what you
got to
do.
Yes, sir.
What I used to do is stick the jab. That was my favorite part, was the jab, because I was, you know, pretty good at mixing up between the power and the quick jab. And it's such a good deal to just have a punch always in the guy's face, especially the southpaw. You know, I used to frustrate the southpaw every now and then. That we have one southpaw on our college team, and he's a couple weights below me. So he never really wanted to spar me anyway. But then I hit him in the neck one day, and he rolled out of the ring, and he goes, I will never spar you again. Funny. But he used to get the better of everybody just because they couldn't figure him out. But it was just because I had a good jab, you know? No matter what hand you are, you got to establish that jab.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Huh? Yes, sir.
But I look forward to seeing you, whether it's tomorrow night or some other night on a titles card. And we'll keep our eye on you, and we'll keep in touch.
All right, thank you.
He's my boy. All
right, best of luck to you tomorrow night.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one.
All right.
So there you go, there's Mama's boy Dublin.
That is a pretty badass nickname.
Yeah.
And you know what the best part about it is? It's like, you know, first of all, it shows a lot of family respect, and I'm very big into that. And second of all, it's like you just got your ass kicked by the Mama's boy. He's like, yeah, I'm the Mama's boy, and I just whipped your ass.
Well, it's like one of those situations where you can be proud to call yourself the Mama's boy.
Absolutely.
It's not such a bad thing. Mothers,
no, not at all.
Mothers are great people to their kids. A lot of mothers inspire their kids, so there's nothing wrong with that. But, I don't know, I'm trying to cut it short tonight. I'm going to have to do an interview with Fox California. So, I keep my schedule open. Whether they're going to do it tonight or tomorrow, though.
Yeah. Wait, you know what I was going to do tonight? I'm not going to do it now. Remember a couple of years ago, me and you were being goofy, and we called that girl on her 21st birthday, and we sang happy birthday to her?
Yeah. Is it her birthday again?
What?
Is it her birthday again?
No, not for a few more months. But I was talking to her the other night, and she was like, it was actually the day before Valentine's Day, because I put my own anti-Valentine's Day message in there. She's living up, actually, in Providence now.
Oh, yeah?
So she said something about, I said something anti-Valentine's Day on her Facebook, and she agreed. I'm like, I said, hey, I said, good luck to Valentine's Day isn't on a Thursday this year. Or I said, me and Rich would call you up live on the air and, like, serenade you if you lost that loving feeling. She said, you can still do it and have it be a belated Valentine's Day. I'm like, nah, I don't think so. It's not the same.
Oh, God. That was funny because I sat at the casino for 3 hours last night and listened to karaoke. Waiting for a ride. I was like, oh, man, this sucks. There was like two or three good people. But there was the one time I actually went to the bar where I had to do karaoke. Strip clubs. So they had strippers on some nights and they decided to do Monday night karaoke. I don't know why. Don't ask me. It didn't work that well, but I got plenty of practice because I was the only one willing to get up there with five people there every night. But I don't know if I was ever actually any good, but I was all they had. That was kind of a funny time. But as far as MMA fights, we got a ton of them going on all over the country, over the world as always. 18th, 19th, 20th. It's like, go to Sherdog.com, click on fights, and I don't even want to read this. This is like 32 fights long this weekend. It's a good weekend for fights. But I do want to say, since I'm out here in Vegas, the good fight for the shareholders is going very well. I've been using a little non-lawyer tactics on the people. And, kind of giving them the idea that I'm moving out here to town permanently. They're all freaking out. It's pretty interesting stuff. But I think they're spending a lot of money on their attorneys to try to figure out what to do. They're bringing him into the office every single day. And I heard from the other attorneys in town that I went to see the other day that this guy's getting paid like $450 an hour. So I'm like, oh, that's great. That's music to my ears. You know, I don't get that much. I don't have to spend that much. But what can you do? And I have a lot of updates on the website. We've got a big story coming up for this that's going to really rock the whole mixed martial arts world. Truly. Unbelievable story, but it's true. I got the proof. And this is breaking news. Breaking news pretty soon. But anyway.
I also remembered another major fight we got coming up this weekend. It's going to be, I believe, on HBO. It's a rematch between a Philadelphia kid, Mike Jones, who Mike I've met a few times. Very, very talented welterweight out there. And he's fighting a rematch with Jesus Soto Paris, or as Rich would say, the Jesus Fighter of the Week. they fought on the Pacquiao Margarito undercard back in November. And Mike Jones, I mean, it was his first time really getting big exposure. He was fighting on the undercard of a major pay-per-view with over a million people watching. And he came fired up at Dallas Stadium, and he blasted Soto Paris early, wobbled him in like the second round, unloaded on him with everything but the kitchen sink. And then he started to get a little tired. And Soto Paris started coming back. And then it was a toss-up on who the people thought won that fight. A lot of people, I didn't order the fight. I was following the updates online, and I know I was following that fight online round for round. They had Soto Paris winning something like 97-93 or 97-94. I don't really remember exactly what. But the judges gave it to Jones. And it could be a situation where, yeah, he was the up-and-coming prospect. You know, he's a guy that, you know, they think had a future in the sport. But, hey, if he didn't win the fight, he didn't win the fight. So now it's they're having a rematch. It's the main event. And it's a chance for, you know, Mike Jones to come out there and, you know, maybe right that wrong a little bit. You know, saying, okay, maybe I shouldn't have won the first fight, but now I'm going to knock him out this time.
Right.
It's a chance for Soto Paris to get that revenge, you know, for a fight that he thought that he won the original. So that's what makes it interesting. It could have been a situation where Mike Jones, in such a big environment, you know, tightened up a little bit and wasn't as relaxed as he should have been and maybe punched himself out early. And now that they've really got him working hard again, and I know he's been working with Danny Davis, who is in charge of doing a lot of the conditioning drills with Bernard Hopkins.
Yeah.
And for Bernard Hopkins, who's 46 years old and is in better shape than about 99.999% of the human beings on this planet, I guess Dan Davis is doing a pretty good job there.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a story off the presses. Dan Lazon, brother of famous UFC fighter Joe Lazon, was stabbed early today in Bridgewater, Massachusetts. Reportedly knifed at the top of his shoulder.
Wow.
He did not suffer a life-threatening wound. Thursday, 2 a.m. Thursday, suffered a nasty ankle sprain. Whoa. So Joe Lazon got hurt trying to respond to his brother getting stabbed. That's rough. That's a rough day in family. It's a bad day. We had the big fight over the weekend, the Strikeforce tournament we didn't talk about, really. Andre Arlovski got pounded out in his fight, and, of course, the big news, Antonio Bigfoot Silva destroyed Fedor Emelianenko's eye socket. Just turned his face into some hamburger. It was quite the experience to watch. And it's kind of interesting. Antonio Silva's such a big dude. But anyway, other than that, I think we covered a lot of stuff in an hour.
But we're good like that.
And
remember, I was on location for a good bit of that time, too.
So was I. I'm still out here in Vegas. I've been on location for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then I did plenty of shit in the car. I couldn't hear what the shit, but that's okay.
Guess how much I won at the casinos.
Are you funding the college education for the casino's owners?
No, I won $3 at the Circus. That was my highest winning so far.
Why?
Because I didn't play. I'm not playing. Screw that. I played for like 10 minutes. I played some slots, and I won $3. I'm walking away. That's it. I'm done.
Nice.
Controlling myself. I went to the Circus thinking it was going to be like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, you know that movie?
Right.
And I get there and it's like fucking commercialized. Like, this sucks. I don't see a single clown or a carousel. This blows.
Yeah.
I don't see a big lawyer with a briefcase. it was kind of funny. I get in there and I was like, this is the Circus. Are you serious? What's going on? Anyway. That's all I got. I'm tapping out early.
Huh.
Wish you have
anything. Well, hey, thank you for good up to you, man.
I'm not even in Vegas proper. I'm not walking down the strip every night, that's for sure. But anyway, until another day, next Thursday, we will talk then.
All right, well, I'll be ready next Thursday. I will be on vacation, so I can give you my undivided attention for the first 20 minutes of the show.
All right. We may be back to an MMA show, depending on how many boxing gyms I bust into this trip.
I still got those. I got a couple guys that still want to get on our show.
Oh, yeah. What about this Joey I guy? Joey I.
Yeah.
Got to get him on. All right, we'll figure it out. We got another week. I'll be more on the ball next week. We got Dennis kind of on a rush, but that's good. We had a good interview with him. He was very straight and to the point, and sounds like he's ready for tomorrow. He's not intimidated, so that's a good thing. And he's southpaw, so he has a little bit of an advantage because those guys are crafty. They're coercively crafty. So, best of luck, and I know he's not going to need it. But I hope they show it on TV. So maybe he'll need a little bit of luck to see it on TV. But, I don't know. It is what it is. That's what they say. All right, till next week. Good night.
All right, tell me, this is the boys of Tornado when I'm out.
Signing off. Rabble Rouser. Over and out.